Hey there, all you padded rheumatoids. This is Cakewolf chiming in. Gonna be sending you right into your little tale of horror with the world of darkness real soon. Just wanted to let you know that this is a prequel show for a couple characters that are gonna be introduced into the regular show pretty soonish. So what we're doing is kind of going back and exploring how these skull-masked people fit into the story. And we're going to be doing that with Mr. Dust Brain and Miss Dust Bunny, as well as later on, Miss Cake Bitch. So let's go ahead and get into this four-part prequel before we continue our main World of Darkness campaign. And possibly later down the line, we're going to be seeing the likes of Mr. Darian Brock joining the cast, which is fun. Excited about that. Just got to get some scheduling things down into the works. And yeah, let's go ahead and explore this world of darkness. All right, so Miss Dust Bunny, you are out of the hospital, and you have a few things going on in your mind. Some flashbacks from the incident that occurred where you were filming your catheter star. He was pulling the catheter in and out of his penis while you were filming him. And then some people in skull masks broke into the building. And beat the crap out of you.
As they do.
They held you down after beating you up and made you watch as they pulled down their pants. They had no genitalia, but they had these strange dermal attachments where their penis would be.
A dermal attachment, like they were actually grafted on.
Right. Right. And
that doesn't seem feasible. Like, most people just buckle on a strap on.
Right. It doesn't seem like something that's very normal. Like, this was something.
Where did you find your pants? You ripped them up.
This was something that was surgically implanted and, like, obviously fused with them.
Are we talking mad scientist? Like, switchblade.
It's very weird. Right.
Okay.
So they put these knives on their attachments, and each of their knives were different sizes. There was, they were mostly pretty big knives, but there was one guy that had this like little Swiss Army knife thing going on, like maybe like an inch long, but the rest of them had like Crocodile Dundee style knives. And they, basically go over to this man that you were filming and they violate him, but not in his, you know, in his orifices. They make holes to violate him with in his lungs, in his kidney, in his feet, in his face. It's just violent and it's horrific, and you watch every bit of it because the one person holding you and making you watch it like rattles you if you try to close your eyes, and it was very traumatic. So after this whole experience happened, you were hospitalized, you hired someone to rough some people up, and you ended up employing him. This was Chris. Now that you're out of the hospital, you're kind of replaying a lot of this stuff in your head in like quick flashes. So what I described to you is coming in bits and pieces. You remember all of it. There's nothing that you don't remember.
Goody.
But yeah, so currently I'm just going to throw out there and say that you are at a Starbucks and you're meeting with a private investigator. And this is, like, 8 o'clock at night, and your private eye, his name is Laszlo Leap. And this private eye is played by Mr. Dustbrain. So go ahead and have your little interactions. He's just showed up and sat down with you. He didn't get anything to drink. Say you're drinking your drink of choice, whatever that might be.
Blood. No. Starbucks?
Yeah.
All right. Do I buy him a coffee or...
Well,
how does this work?
No, I'm just going to...
Yeah.
We're going to walk in.
There's going to be a lot of socializing because we don't have dice or anything. So just go ahead and mind's eye theater it. Let's just chat it out.
Hello. Hello. How are you?
I'm going to walk in. I'm going to sit down. I've obviously got a phone call about her.
Right. You know that this is your client. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to sit down. I'm not going to order anything. I'm just going to greet you. Hello.
Hello.
So this private eye, he has gray hair. He's in his mid-40s. He has some punchy kind of characteristics to him. A little bit of cauliflower ears, some scars on his face, and one prominent one going down over his right eye that basically he's got like a dead eye kind of thing going on.
Yeah, like hair star.
Yeah. But he, you can tell that he was once very attractive, but, and some of the features are still there, but he just has this, like, war-torn kind of look to him.
Okay.
And what are you, both wearing right now?
I'm probably just wearing, a suit.
Okay.
A hat.
Sure. Like a zoot suit? Like no, a just... red, bright...
No. Yeah.
With a cane.
Dark.
Hair star, but dark.
Okay. Yeah,
it's a black suit.
Okay. With a red tie.
I'd probably have a black tie.
Okay, so you're like going all black.
Doing a Men in Black kind of thing?
With a white shirt.
Okay.
White shirt, yeah.
Do you have any color at all?
Are you like a dirty person or do you keep very clean?
He would keep clean.
Okay.
You don't want to leave evidence.
And, Miss Dust Bunny?
Ah.
You can say like how wounded you are if you have casts or a sling or whatever.
I'm guessing that many of my ribs were broken at some point during the struggle. I would probably say that, there were some bruises on my face.
Are you wearing anything to cover your wounds?
Probably an eye patch.
Okay.
Just because, like, you know, I'm vain. And I don't really want, like, a black eye kind of thing. If, like, you know, did your man do that? Or did you just get into a fight with a woman?
Right. It's better just to tell people that you've got, like, a cataract or something.
Yeah. Plus Switchblade Sisters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a cool movie.
Yeah.
So. All right. Go ahead and interact with one another.
I assume you're okay with my rates?
Yep.
You've seen that. Okay. Well, do you want to detail me in on what you would like from me?
I'll phrase that. I would like you to look into a group. I don't know who they are. I don't know what they want. I need you to find, maybe it's a cult, I don't know who they are. They wear skull masks and have accoutrements to their genitals.
Skull mask and accoutrements to their genitals. Okay.
This sounds
How very... good are you?
This sounds very weird to you.
And you can ask for more details, but I'm not sure. I feel comfortable saying that out loud in a Starbucks where there's like always people that are listening in.
Yeah, you're not the the most emotional person, I would assume. So you're having, like, you're taking things at face value, is what I would assume. Like, yeah. She's telling you this, and you're just like, okay, but it sounds weird to you. This isn't something that you've heard of before, so I don't know if you want more details about it.
Honestly, I think I would probably just write him an email at that point, and then we meet face-to-face to know that I'm legit, because, mm-hmm. you know, like, it would be more comfortable for me to, like, write what happened.
So you would have told him all of this in high detail
prior. Yeah, okay. Via email.
Sure, that's fine.
Okay.
If you're the email kind of man.
So then you are aware...
So I know of the whole story.
Yeah.
Okay.
That makes more sense.
Okay. I'm fine with that.
So whatever happened to the video?
Video? There was a video shooting?
Well, you were filming the catheter guy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so... And that video actually was recording the entire scenario?
Well, you haven't had a chance to really... check, like, you've just gotten out of the hospital and you're meeting with him at this point. So that's something that you could do together or whatever.
Well, have the police been over the scene?
I'm not involving the police.
So that scene is untouched?
As far as I know, yes.
Okay. Is this correct? No one's been tampered with, as if far as she knows?
It's up to her. If she didn't report anything, then no, it wouldn't have been investigated.
Okay. Well, first thing I'll do is I'll get that address and go over there and come to place. Do you have any other hard evidence?
So, if that's the case, then I would assume that you... I mean, this guy was obviously murdered there. So, if you left that place without informing the police, then you would have had to, like, crawl out and get to an ambulance and just not tell them what happened to you. Which is possible, no. But you do have a body there then.
Considering that I wasn't immediately harmed more than just roughed up, like, beaten, I would probably say, like, I got jumped.
Okay.
And that would be, like, my excuse to the ambulance.
Sure.
Taking me to the hospital.
Yeah. But that does mean that you do have a body there, then. And one thing...
Door would be open, too, wouldn't you think?
What's that?
Door might be open, not locked.
Well, it is, like, your studio where you were filming.
Is the studio secluded?
Pretty much. I would assume so. I mean, you get to have the say whether it is or not. Like, it's your studio. I would say
it's in a loft kind of area, sure. And I probably would have locked the door behind me.
Okay.
But from working in housing, I would almost say, like, neighbors might smell something, and I would just say, oh, it's just garbage.
So the reason that you went to Laszlo, this detective, this private eye, is because through your contacts, you were informed that he doesn't really... like, he gets things done, he's not by the books kind of guy, and he's willing to get dirty.
Uh-huh.
So that's kind of the reason why you went to him. Can I pretend he's like Hairstar? You can pretend that, yeah, sure.
Can you pretend you're Hairstar?
I'm not a Hairstar.
God damn it!
Can you let the listeners know who Hairstar is in case they don't?
Hairstar, if you're not either watching the show, the MC show Preacher, or have read the comic book Preacher, is the... one-eyed, scarred up, basically kind of similar description, but I would prefer.
Right.
Head of, I don't even know, he's not really the head of, but he's kind of like the, what would you call him, like a director of the Grail, who is trying to convince Jesse Custer to become the Messiah, only he's really, like, has terrible luck. And more and more bad things happen to him, but he's a sex fetishist, and he's very by the book and very clean about what he does, and German. So I think that's
his character. He's very funny.
He is. He's lovely.
Very complicated.
Yeah, very complicated. It's like a pint of ice cream with, like, tons of toppings that just keeps getting rolled over, and you're like, wow, I didn't even know this had Buckeyes in it. Holy crap, caramel too?
Yeah.
All right. It just keeps going with chocolate chips, cookie dough. It just keeps going.
So no Hairstar Jason.
No.
Okay. So you had asked about the tape.
Well, now I'm wondering if there's a body I have to deal with. That's going to be extra.
I don't care. Deal with it. I'm not dealing with that shit anymore.
You do have people that can take care of cleanup details.
And I have money. So, go.
I can take care of that.
Debris removal. Go. $3,000. Don't care. Go.
Alright.
You can tell that she's like... I'm assuming that you're... You're being very abrupt with him because this is uncomfortable for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're still kind of in that state of shock, but you need things done.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that because of who you are, and knowing you for a little bit, that you would want to make sure that this is getting done right.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing that I take from your person is that you, can be a bit of a perfectionist when...
No.
So what you want to do is, kind of like shadow him, I'm going to say.
Yeah. Yeah, because I don't really trust people that much when it comes to things that involve, like, either
like my... Like, your entire life.
Yeah, like, my status, my money, my reputation. I kind of need a little bit more control over that.
Yeah. So, are you going to... What are you going to say to him?
I need to be along with you when you go to my studio. In order to see that the job is done.
Alright, we can do that.
So, you guys head to the studio. When you arrive, things are locked up because you said that you did lock them up. There is a little bit of blood here and there on the street, but it's... is this in the city?
I would say, like, small city, like either Lancaster or York kind of feel, okay, where it's, so, like, it's urban, but it's...
Yeah.
It's, like, old shoe factory.
Sure. So, there is enough... It's not, like, super clean. There's enough dirt around that people don't notice blood stains.
And there's not a lot of foot traffic, unless you, like, kind of live in the area.
Yeah.
But there's not a lot of foot
traffic. The occasional blood stain, the occasional...
Bullet.
Dirty diaper.
Yeah.
Just laying in the
Random
road.
Random chicken wing bones is another thing I notice.
So, you do see the blood there. It's most likely hers, because from her story, she had to crawl out of there.
And I would readily explain it, even if it wasn't mine. Okay. As just being mine.
Are you going to open up the loft?
Yeah.
When you open the door, the smell hits you right away. You've been in the hospital for about 5 days. Uh-huh. Doesn't take that long when the, you know, there's no air conditioning. You got a dead body. It's going to stink. Mm. And it is a fucking mess, Jason. now.
Good luck.
Do you want to let the listeners know something special about your character at this point?
Sure.
Okay, go right ahead.
Wait, what is what's special?
you were a Golden Gloves boxer back in the 20s.
Okay. Yeah.
And you became a vampire through a series of events, and to kind of keep the income going and whatnot, and try to blend in with the world. You are a member of the Camarilla, and you are a private investigator for hire. Most of your jobs are specifically for vampires in your city, working underneath the prince. But for high-paying humans, you will take jobs. And for someone to recommend you, they would have to have a lot of money, because you're not someone that a lot of people know about.
Right.
Okay.
So I take it all this Starbucks and all that was an interview at night?
Yes.
Okay. Because I was thinking it was like a mid-afternoon kind of deal.
Currently it's around 8:30 right now at night.
Oh, like half an hour before they close.
Mm. All right. Well, I'm immediately going to call the cleanup detail. Tell them about the situation.
You get,
we call the hazmat people in my line of work.
You get a voice on the other end. Yo, Laszlo, what's going on, man?
What is this, Charles Manson?
Your cleanup guy is a crew, and they work from the sewers. They're Nosferatu clan. And the man that you're talking to right now, he goes by the name Bakobit. He's this portly little guy that kind of has a crew under his entourage. So yeah. What's going on?
Well, I'm in an apartment right now. I'll give him the address. I want you to come clean up.
That's a nice area.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, it's not so nice right now, so I need you to clean it up a bit.
I was out there yesterday night, and I went and got some free smells at the Jimmy John's. That's what they call it nowadays. They got free smells out on the sign. Yeah. Just go in there and smell.
All right. Well,
that hurts my throat.
I don't care about your Jimmy John's. I need you to wait till we leave this loft, and then you come immediately and clean it up.
I'll send some of my people out there, no problem. But I highly recommend, you know, check out those smells. Might not be good for us to eat, but we can always smell, and they're free there. This guy's just kind of off. But he does a good job. Like, he's got a good crew. He's just weird.
Just be abrupt with him.
All right. I'll check out the smells.
Well, you won't regret it. And let me tell you, they got this special going on.
How old is this vampire? He's going on like an old geezer.
Yeah, he's very old. Would you just hang up on him?
Yeah. Hang up at this point.
Okay.
Here, take the money and you don't, geezer.
All right, so we're going to look around.
Okay, sure. You do see a tripod and professional camera hooked up to it. Obviously, it's no longer running, and the battery is dead because it was left on, so you'll need to plug it in. But there is one there.
I'll plug it in.
The tape is still in there.
Why would it be in there?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, well,
why would they leave it?
Yeah.
I guess because they were still wearing masks.
Yeah, they were still wearing masks.
Mm-hmm.
They just basically got their bottom half nude.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll wait for that to charge so we can watch that.
Sure.
And look at the rest of the scene.
I mean, you watch it, you see it happen.
Okay.
These guys, they are, from what you can understand, and you would typically have to be around them and study them to know for sure, but on first glance, you don't believe that they are a supernatural. You do believe that they are human. You just have that kind of sense. You've been around for a while, like you can tell these kind of things, and you do know of vampires that don't follow the rules of the Camarilla and just kind of do what they want to do. You don't think that this is them. You
it's
do.
It's not Sabbat. It's not
right.
The Assassin League.
There is light coming in from one of the loft windows, and they came in from the outside, so they're not going to be able to walk in the sunlight. They're not a van- like you eliminate that kind of theory. You do just have this kind of sense for different reasons that it is, they are human.
Okay.
The dermal implants that are done, they look very high tech. this isn't something that they're going to be able to get just anywhere. Like, dermal implants themselves are pretty rare, on the sense of just like, you know, getting something on your forehead to look like horns, which is like one of the more common dermal implants.
Actually, magnets under your fingertips.
Oh, okay.
I know, because several girls I know got that to be edgy.
That's weird. I've never heard of that.
Shut up.
But this is something really intense, whatever it is. And one of them has new scars that you notice. You have a very good a good perception. And you can see that the one with the really tiny Swiss Army knife that's only an inch long, he's got fresh scars around his abdomen. So,
like a alpha thing. Or...
So, probably, and you are onto something, Miss Dust Bunny. Probably, he had this done recently because the others didn't show any kind of like there are scars, but they're like all healed up and stuff. His were fresh, and you could still see the stitching and everything.
Side note, when I was actually looking at the behavior of crickets when I was in high school for one of my science fair projects, I noticed that they had a prison mentality of, like, amongst each other.
Right.
There would be several that would be killed, of course, because I didn't know how to feed them. I'm terrible at that.
Yeah, I'm not the best.
But what I did notice about their behavior was that they were picking off the weak ones, killing them, eating them, cannibalizing them, but they were actually creating a pecking order. And the ones with the longest antennae were the alpha. Mm-hmm. The ones with the shortest ones closest to their heads, total, like, omegas.
Okay.
So that's what I was thinking of when you said, like, the smallest one. I'm like, oh, it's like like the alpha behavior in prisons.
I think that you have a decent score on, like, keeping your cool, right? I think so.
I don't think I do, actually.
Well, you have you can expend willpower to succeed at that.
I have long game grit, but immediate down stuff, I freak out.
Okay.
But if it's like a long term thing of like, I know I have to get through this, like with my current job, I suffer through it.
Okay.
Because the health benefits are buku insane.
Well, I'm just going to say that you want to like pay attention and be helpful. So you kind of expend a willpower point, just kind of power through it. At the moment when it was happening, you didn't get to pick up on everything, but at this point, you're watching it in detail with Laszlo, and you...
Yeah, she would have been preparing for herself for this anyways.
So when you...
How does everyone know me? Why am I like some sort of like studied object?
When you watch it, you see that the guy with the tiny knife has to go last.
Much like the cricket in my experiments.
Right. So, he's kind of like... He's also kind... He seems like the way that his body moves and everything, he seems kind of nervous. Like, maybe this is his first time or something. And they do motion him towards it. And you can tell that the dude with the tiny knife is studying everybody else and what they're doing.
So, he's an initiate. Yeah.
Right.
So, is there anything I can observe that was left behind?
Blood, and bits of sick.
Yeah, there's a lot of blood. As far as bodily fluids on their part, there's not going to be much. You'll be lucky to really get anything. You can tell that they are, like, shaved from the video. Like, they're pretty bare. They were wearing gloves, like they were all decked out. The only thing that was barren from them was their pants at the point when they took them off to put their knives and their dermal implants.
All right.
So the only lead that you really have is, at this point, the dermal implants. Like I said, that's not something that you're going to be able to get just anywhere.
Well, at this point,
you do have contacts. You can call.
All right. Before that, at this point, I'm probably going to ask Dust Bunny whether anyone knew that her client was here. for this shoot?
I don't know who fucking told.
You would.
I don't fucking tell anybody anything.
You would know from knowing your client that his boyfriend knew that he was going to do the shoot, but that's it.
Okay. I just assume, you know, like, I don't know much about, like, what they're about.
Yeah.
I'm just the one paying them. They have to, like, volunteer the information.
Right. Well, just by talking to him. Yeah. Like, he mentioned that his boyfriend was excited about the gig that he got. And...
Well, give me the your information on the boyfriend so we can keep an eye on him.
Okay. You don't really, like, you don't have the boyfriend's info. But, by searching the would you search as well, Miss Dust Bunny?
Search what?
The area.
For the boyfriend?
Well, for anything in the area.
In the
out room. Of sorts. In the room.
Yeah. I'd probably search.
Are you wearing gloves, I assume? Like, dust brain, I'm sure you carry gloves with you.
No, because the cleanup crew's coming.
Okay, so you wouldn't be touching the body.
Well, yeah, you would. You would have, like, your own gloves.
Yeah, probably not.
Okay. If you're a detective...
Just to not get dirty.
Well, basically, the two of you find a cell phone that's on the guy.
Mm.
Now, it's out of juice at this point, but you would assume that contact information is on there for the boyfriend.
All right. Well, I'll just take the cell phone for later.
Okay. Cleanup crew comes. There's a knock on the door.
All right. I crack it open.
Okay. You see three guys. They look very similar to one another, just slight differences. They all have long blonde hair held back in a man bun. And they're all wearing sweatshirts or hoodies, you know, with the hood partially up, just over the man bun. And they're wearing very tight jeans. And, like, Converse shoes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought I told you guys to come after we left here.
I just wanted to let you know that we're here. Just wait outside till you're ready.
Yeah, it doesn't look weird. Just bug off for a while until we're done.
All right. They kind of go off into the Jimmy Johns. Something that you know about these three guys, they are, you can tell who they are. Like, this is his crew. This is Bako Bits' crew. They're basically Nosferatu as well. They can change their appearance. So if anyone sees them, like, entering or leaving with something weird, you know, they'll describe somebody that's just not going to be around ever again. So...
Okay.
That's
they
what
have
makes
like
them...
a glamour in order to pass for a little bit, but it expends energy.
Right. It's sort of their way of being a good cleanup crew.
But then when they're relaxed, they're like back to rat looking.
They look really ugly in reality.
All right.
Really disgusting.
Well, yeah, I played the video game.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So I'm
they look like Count Orlok.
I didn't realize they could look.
Pita from Pita. What we do in
right.
the
shadows. Right, yeah, yeah.
I didn't know they could blend in, though.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's a glamour trait that they can pull, but not for very long.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, like, on a time lapse of, like, maybe 2 hours.
I'm pretty sure it's called Mask of a Thousand. It's one of their tried and trues.
Okay.
They
basically look like what they did before they returned into Nosferatu, because once you're Nosferatu, you don't go back. Like, it's not like Toreador where you're, like, even more beautiful than you were before. It's like, no, you're straight up ugly now.
Yeah.
You may have been, like, kind of cute before, but you're nothing now. You're not pretty no more.
So what are you guys going to do at this point?
There's no other things.
Nothing else that you find? No. They were very clean. Except for leaving the videotape, but you think that must have been intentional.
All right. Yeah, we'll leave. I'm going to
for being as clean as they were, it's very weird for them to leave the videotape.
Yeah. I'm going to call some of my contacts to see if they know anything about any kind of cult human organization that has any of these traits, similarities.
Okay, everyone, that wraps up part one of our little prequel thingy. So, if you enjoy what you're hearing on the Padded Room Network between Cake Wolf's Happy Hour, the Padded Room main show, the flagship show, or the Horror for Dummies, you like us, go on iTunes, give us a good rating. It helps all of us out, and, well, it would make you extra awesome. That's all I got to say.
Get out! Last chance, told you. Get out! Get out!
Excuse me now!
Hey, what is with you guys? How about shutting up for a change, okay? I already fed you.
Beware the moon, lads.
Yeah. What the hell was that all about?